So we are in the midst, as I transition here, we're in the midst of a series about the 23rd Psalm. And I just want to read this psalm to you this morning as we get into the message. So I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation, but here it is, the 23rd Psalm. And this is David writing this. And he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." This is the word of the Lord today. We are in week two of this series. Last week, in talking about the Good Shepherd, I shared with all of us that we need to know him. It's important that we know who the shepherd is. And it's important that we know how to hear his voice. Next week, we're going to talk about letting the Good Shepherd comfort us. And the following, we were going to talk about allowing the Good Shepherd to lead us. And what does that all look like? This week, we're going to jump ahead, though, to verse 4. And I want to just take a look at this verse because it's an interesting moment. It's an interesting shift in the psalm, because up until this point, it's almost like if you're thinking David is a sheep, which he's talking about the Good Shepherd, he is a sheep talking to another sheep, maybe in a different pen. But he's saying, "Hey, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Yeah, you know, he leads me beside peaceful streams. He's so awesome. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right paths, bringing honor to his name, you know, even all this stuff. And then in this moment, there's a shift. He, instead of talking to another sheep or to you or I, he begins to talk to the shepherd. And he shifts this and directs this to the Good Shepherd. And he says this in verse 4, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me." When I was preparing for this and just looking into this psalm, you know, a lot of times when we read these psalms, David is writing about personal experience. We talked about this last week, that the things that he's sharing are not just some metaphor out there, but he's actually bringing forth from his own life and the own things that he's walked through as a shepherd, as a king, as one in exile, all of these different places that he's been, he is writing about and he is sharing about how God has worked in his life in the midst of these different areas. And when I think about it that way, I'm thinking to myself, where is this darkest valley that he's talking about? So I began to look at it, and I began to, you know, Google search and all of this stuff. And there are some different valleys that run through the Jerusalem area, around Jerusalem. And interestingly enough, when we go to Jerusalem, these valleys now are like roadways and different areas, parks, different things of that nature. And we're going to get to see some of these when we go in February and March to Jerusalem. We're going to drive on them. We're going to probably pass them and go, "Oh, there it was. There was the valley of the shadow of death." But back in David's time, and even before, there were some interesting things that were going on in these valleys. This valley called the Valley of Gehenna, and it's just outside the city. Before the Israelites came into the Promised Land, and what they experienced when they saw these valleys. One of these valleys, this Valley of Gehenna, actually had child sacrifice to the god of Molech. And so here the Israelites are coming in, they're going, "Oh my word, what's going on in this area?" When David made Jerusalem the capital, This area also was a place, this Gehenna was a place where they would take their trash and they would burn it. They would also take unholy bodies that had died and they would take them out to this valley of Gehenna and they would burn them. So there's this constant fire that was going on in this valley. This is also a place where thieves lived. This is a place where Jesus, when he was talking about the Good Samaritan, referred to these valleys. This is a dark space. You don't want to find yourself at night in these valleys. And yet David is talking about the Good Shepherd, and he is saying, you lead me through here, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. David is writing from his own experience here. He is not going to be afraid of walking through these areas where he could possibly be murdered, these possible dark places. He's not afraid. In Romans 8:31, Paul writes, he goes, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us? David's experience and Paul's experience are mirrored in this moment where they begin to see and recognize the goodness of the Good Shepherd, how God has walked through, how God has protected, how God has led them through hard and rough times. And just like David and Paul, we walk through hard times. I'm sure many of us today could say, even today, I'm walking through a dark time. I'm struggling, Pastor Mark, and I'm really having an issue. This message is for you. And if you are not in a dark time in the moment, let me just encourage you to take note of this, because when the dark times come, and they do come, right? We can walk through these dark places with the Lord. We need to remember that He is our Good Shepherd. We have Him as a Good Shepherd. The main thing I want you guys to leave with today is that trusting the Good Shepherd in times of adversity brings comfort and strength. Trusting the Good Shepherd in times of adversity brings comfort and strength. In Psalm 23, verse 4, at the beginning, it says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You know, I want to just acknowledge something here, is that we all have fear at one time or another. Fear is a natural response to adversity. But in these moments, we can choose faith over fear. The Good Shepherd assures us of His protection and presence. In Isaiah 41:10, it says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is my go-to. When I am freaked out, when I am walking in fear, man, I jump to that verse. I'm like, oh, the Lord is my, the Lord is with me. I don't have to be afraid, you know. I will not be dismayed, for He is my God. He will strengthen me, He will help me, He will uphold me with His righteous right hand. And in these dark times, we can trust in the Good Shepherd. David, in facing Goliath, trusted in the Good Shepherd. In fact, even before, he's talking about how he's killed the bear and the lion. And he knows that, man, I'm going to stand up to this Philistine who is just tearing apart my God. No one should tear apart my God. And so as he faces the giants, it's evident that God has been working in his life even up to that point where he was 12 or 13 years old as a young boy, and he fought this giant because he had seen without fear at that moment. Maybe he had fear, but he knew that God was with him. And I want to encourage us all today to allow the Lord to walk with us, allow him to be our good shepherd so that we too can walk in victory. In Psalm 27:1, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, the thing is that faith, when we talk about faith, faith yes, can be referred to as a noun, but faith is an action. It's a verb. And we can walk and we can take this action to crush fear. Let me see if there's one up here. There is. So you've all seen this analogy before, I'm sure, when we talk about faith or we talk about trust. But when we talk about taking an action, I believe that this stool will hold me up. Okay, I'll move over here a little bit. Just off the carpet. Sorry. Live stream, we stay on the carpet to help them out. But I'm a little off. We trust this stool to take us and to hold us and all of this stuff. You guys have seen this analogy before when it comes to faith. But the action that we walk in faith, is that when we take this moment to actually believe that the chair will hold us, the stool will hold us. There has to be a moment, like right now, you can take it out and you're okay. But there has to be a moment where you fully commit. You let go. You have to relax your muscles. You have to move in a way that says, I am with faith believing that this stool will hold me up. In the same way, when we are walking in fear, there has to be a moment when we know and believe and have faith that we have the Good Shepherd and He is walking with us, and we have to commit and leave the fear behind and allow the Lord to move. You know, I'll tell you that I've done some hiking. I haven't walked through a dark valley. I've walked in some dark canyons. But I got to tell you, as a kid, what was more scary and terrifying were the dark hallways rather than the dark valleys. And I'll tell you, I was like Indiana Jones, man. When it would come to a dark hallway, I would be like bobbing and weaving and ducking and rolling and all of this stuff to make sure that there wasn't going to be some crazy thing that was going to jump out of a dark entryway or the bathroom or a closet, you know, and all of this stuff. And I was terrified. I had worked myself up into a frenzy because of the darkness that I was walking into to get to my bedroom, which was at the end of the hall. I mean, I can tell you stories of things that I was afraid of. But interestingly enough, that when it could still be dark, same time, same darkness. But the thing that changed was my dad was walking with me down the hall. Now all of a sudden, I wasn't afraid. Now all of a sudden, I could walk with boldness because my dad was walking with me. The same thing is true with us. When we walk through the valleys of darkness, when we walk through the hardships, when we walk through the terrifying areas, and we know and have faith that our King, our Shepherd, our Savior is walking with us, there is less of a response of fear and more of a response of faith. Right? It's pretty cool when God does this. But what happens when you're freaked out, insecure, and ready to bolt, even when you know that all that stuff is going on? Even when you trust that God is there? Because as I watch sheep, and as we said last time, and you heard me say, sheep are dumb, right? Sheep have their issues. I started to YouTube sheep, and I found out this is how bright sheep are. Sheep will sometimes they're flat on their backs, okay? And sheep will sometimes roll over so much that they will land on their backs like turtles. They can't roll back over on their own, and so the shepherd has to come by and actually pull them over. I watched a how-to video on how to rewrite sheep when they're on their back. And it's really funny because these sheep, I mean, this sheep was on its back and it was just laying there. I was like, help. Wasn't moving. Wasn't doing anything. And it's crazy, if a sheep stays on its back too long, gases fill up in its body, it'll have a heart attack and die. Sheep are dumb. And yet I know that in my risky moments, I will do crazy and dumb things. I'll roll over and stay on my back. I'm falling on my back and I'm like, that wasn't smart. No, we do crazy things. But I'll tell you what, God is still there. And he says in that second part, and this is an interesting thing when we're walking through these times and walking through these valleys, David says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I know it's hard to kind of visualize this, so I brought some visual aids with me. And a rod and staff. So here's the staff. Now, this is my Moses staff. It's a kind of a really gnarled looking stick. And the thing with the shepherd is that he would take the staff and he would put this, some shepherds have the crook on the end, the hook, you know, where they could pick them up or, you know, wrangle them, you know, and all that stuff. But they use these to guide and direct. You know, move them along. Keep them from going too far. The shepherd makes himself bigger by showing this and directing the sheep into one space or another, moving them through. And at times, whoop, come on now, move it, you know? The rod. Now this isn't a sheep's rod. This is more of like a goat rod. And this is African. It's not from a more Jewish tradition. But I'll tell you, I mean, this thing is gnarly. And if a goat were to get hit in the horns with this bad boy, it would knock him silly. All right? But the thing is that this would actually say, pay attention. But this thing here was more to protect the sheep than it was to punish the sheep. This was here to protect the sheep more than to punish the sheep. I know that when we look at these instruments of evil, we may think that gosh, how cruel the shepherd to use these on the sheep. And yet David says in this moment where we could think, okay, well, if you're referring to us as sheep, then you know, you're like, what in the world? Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. How is it that these things bring comfort? Well, think about where he's walking through. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. I will not be afraid. Because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You are protecting me with everything that you are. You have your eyes out and you are looking at the horizon. The rod and the staff represent God's love and care for us. They are not instruments of punishment, but rather tools used by a loving shepherd to steer us away from danger and towards the best for us. When we're walking through the darkest valley, the shepherd knows what's on the other side. The green pastures, the clear, crisp, cool water, the rest. He is leading us through these spaces, and even though it might be dark in the moment, there is peace and rest on the other side. For many of us, when we think of a father, we have the idea of these things being more for punishment. We have an idea from God that God more rules or has things by an iron fist and says, thou shalt not. But I also look at Scripture. And I understand, for those of you that relate to God in a way that you might have known your earthly fathers, I understand why, and your earthly fathers were that way. I would understand why you might think that God was like that. But when we look at Scripture and we look at a good father who is taking care of his kids, there are times where a good father will discipline. There's times that a good father will say things and allow his kids to explore a little bit off the beaten path. And I think of a good father in this protecting his kids and saying, you know, hey, don't go too close to the edge or you're going to fall in. And sometimes the kids are like, okay, that sounds good, Dad. I won't go towards the edge. And other times you're like, but Dad, it's so cool down there. Look. And as kids are, they play on the edge, a little bit too close to the edge. And sometimes what happens? You fall. Kids fall. There's a reason in national parks there's railings on everything. And it's not necessarily because of little kids. Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon? I mean, people go under the railings to go crazy places. I'm like, there's a reason. The railing's there because of you over there. Don't be dumb. God, the Good Shepherd, the Father, knows what's best. He has a different perspective. He sees things from that higher space. He knows what's happening before, and he knows what's happening in the moment, and he knows what's going to happen after. And he says, don't go there. Now, the Good Shepherd, in those moments of being freaked out, scared, and all of that, the sheep does what? It bolts, it takes off. The shepherd isn't going to be like, well, you fell, peace out. What's the shepherd going to do? He's going to leave the 99 and go after the one. And he's going to go after that sheep, and he's going to pick up that sheep, and he's going to take care of that sheep, and he's going to love that sheep back into health. That is the Good Shepherd. That is the Father that we serve. That is the one who David acknowledges in this Psalm 23. This is a psalm typically used at funerals and stuff, but I'll tell you, this psalm is actually one for the living. It is a psalm for comfort. It is a psalm that we use when we are in a dark spot in our lives, and we can say, yes, I can find joy because I know that I have a good shepherd who is never going to leave me, who is never going to forsake me, who is always going to be there, and who is protecting me. I may fall off the beaten path. I might walk away, but God is not going to be the one to do that, and when I cry out to him, he will be there. That is an amazing shepherd. You know, I think about this whole idea that when we are afraid, when we have fear, there are three responses, right? Flight, fight, or freeze. When we walk in those three areas, when we are afraid, we walk in those three areas. I would challenge and say that there's actually a fourth, and the fourth is faith. When we are in these moments of darkness, when we are in these moments of struggle, when we get too close to the edge and fall off, and it gets really dark and scary, we know that we have a good shepherd that's watching over us. Psalm 31:4 says, you pull me from the trap of my enemies that my enemies set before me, for I find protection in you alone. The good shepherd has been faithful to his word. Mark, would you come on up? When I think about these tools, the rod and the staff, when the shepherd is leading his flock through the valley of darkness, like I said earlier, there's good things on the other side, because the shepherd wouldn't lead him through the dark valley unless there is great things on the other side of the darkness. But in the middle of it, it's a bad place. There's hurt, there's pain, there's stress, there's struggle. And like Gehenna, man, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But in John 10:10, the second half of that says what? Jesus says, "But I've come to bring life and bring it to the fullest." And these tools that are used to shepherd are now used to protect. And they guard us. They save us because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And where do you think the shepherd stands when the predator comes to steal, to kill, and destroy? Does he run? Does he hide behind his sheep? No. He goes right in front of the sheep and in between the predator and the sheep. That is where the good shepherd stands. And that is where our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, stood so that we would not have to face death. But he faced it for us. He fought the good fight so that we didn't have to. He stood in the gap so that we could have life. That is a good shepherd, y'all. May you trust in the one who brings life. And may you recognize in your darkest moments that you are not alone, but you have a good shepherd who is always there, who is one to always hope in and to always walk you through it. Here's the beautiful thing. God is not going to leave you in the darkest valley. He's going to walk there alongside you. He is not going to leave you stranded. And the beautiful thing about the Good Shepherd is that even though you walk in the darkest valleys, understand this, there is another side, and the Good Shepherd is going to walk you through it. You don't stay in the darkest valley. May you see the light at the end of the tunnel. May you find joy in the midst of the storm. May you trust in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Good Shepherd. And may you be like David when he says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valleys, I will fear no evil, because your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for what you have spoken to us today through your word. God, we are grateful for all of this. And Lord, thank you for being our good shepherd. Man, I love you. Lord, you continue to transform our hearts. In the midst of our storms, may we begin to walk with you. May we move away from the fear and into the faith today, and allow you to direct and guide and show us the way out. We praise you, God, in your name. Amen. Amen.